free from some things that were really kind of holding me back. And I think all of us have things in our lives that that are holding us back, that are preventing us from being who God has called us to be. But this is the year of release. This is the year for you to get free. Come on, if you're online, this is the year for you to begin to walk in the freedom and the liberty that God has for you. And as we've been talking about that, we're in this series called Breakthrough, and we're ending that next week. I'm going to invite you and encourage you to invite people next week to the last part of this series. Get some of those invite cards. We'll have them out in the hallway. Take those cards and pass them out to as many people as you can, because there's many people around you, family, that need breakthrough. And I believe that it's good for us to get it for ourselves, but it's even better for us to help others experience it for themselves too. And so let's be those type of people. So we're going to go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And here's what it says. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Everybody say worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. Here's the verse right here. He made the one, meaning Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now I want you to jump back up to verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone, everybody say anyone. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our breakthrough series. Let go of the labels. Can you tell the person beside you, tell them, hey, neighbor, it's time to let go of all the labels. Come on, let's clap our hands for what God is going to do and what he's going to speak. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word in advance. God, you have said that the truth will set us free. Your word is truth. So, Lord, in these few moments, would you minister to us and build us up in Jesus' name? And every person said, amen. Amen. You can take your seat. Let go of the labels. Now, church family, I want to ask you a question that I hope you can help me out with and be honest about. But have you ever been in conversation with someone and you told them your name and you gave them the proper enunciation of your name, but they kept calling you something different? Has anybody ever had that happen? You ever had it happen where you gave somebody your name and they butchered it, they messed it up, they said something completely different than it actually was? Anybody ever had it happen? Just by showing hands. Y'all, I'm gonna just be honest. I was having a conversation. I had called DirecTV recently. And when I called DirecTV, we were having some cable issues, and the cable wasn't coming on. And that's a tragedy right now, because this was last night, and the games come on today. I got to be able to watch the NFL games. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan for the next few weeks. I'm praying it. I got to keep it in the Bird family. Bird game. I'm about to be rocking purple all these next few weeks. But nonetheless, so I was troubleshooting the issue and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so I had to call DirecTV. And so I called DirecTV, and one of the reps, you know, they go through their customary little, you know, words and the little script that they probably follow. And they said, thank you for calling DirecTV. Who do I have the pleasure and honor of speaking with today? I said, hey, how you doing? My name is Edwin. And they said, good to meet you, Edmund. I said, wait, whoa. No, Edwin. Oh, yes, I'm so sorry, Edward. I'm so sorry. No. Not Edmund, not Edward, Edwin. I'm so sorry, Edwin, I didn't mean to mess up your name. Put some respect on my name, fam. I didn't say that, that's what I was thinking. Right. Because he was messing up my name, that's not who I am. That's not That's not my name. And the same thing more than likely would happen to you. Like if you were telling somebody your name and they kept saying it and they kept messing up the syllables and then all this good stuff. You're fighting for something because you know what is true, and then but what they're speaking is actually not true of your name. And the question I don't want to pose for us as we open up this sermon today for online and here in person is, what names are you responding to and what labels have you adopted that don't line up with what God says about you? What names are you carrying around right now? What names are you responding to that's not something that God has spoke over your life? And when we think about that, it really connects so much with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because here in this letter to the church of Corinth, in the city called Corinth, in the first century Greco-Roman context, Corinth was a very diverse city. It was diverse across ethnicity. It was diverse across economic makeup. It was diverse in social status, things of that nature. But the Corinthian believers were having various challenges in their day walk with Christ. And we see that really in 1 Corinthians all throughout chapters 1, all the way to the end of that letter. Because all in the book of 1 Corinthians, there was problems that they were having within the church. They were having trouble getting along with each other. They were having trouble treating each other right. They were having trouble walking in love towards one another, and they were backbiting one another, and people were committing all types of impure acts with other people. And in many ways, they were adopting the ways of culture. They were living according to culture, but more importantly, they are believers in Christ, but they're not living up to the name of Christ that's on their life, but instead, they're living according to the old ways. And so Paul is writing these different letters to them, and he's mentioning all these different things that he's really trying to do some course correction on. And you know, I said this in the first service, I'm going to say it again. It's almost like the church of Corinth, they had it so bad that Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, didn't just write one time to them, he had to write a second letter. Since y'all didn't get this right the first time, let me try this one more time. And so all throughout 1 Corinthians and now 2 Corinthians, Paul is really trying to really get them back in alignment. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, around verse 16, Paul says this. He says, from now on then, we do not know anybody from a worldly perspective. A worldly perspective. Everybody say worldly perspective. What is a worldly perspective? It is, let me say it like this, having a perspective that's contrary to God's perspective. It is seeing yourself in others and in things in a way that's less than how God sees them. And the challenge that some of the Corinthian believers were having, they were having this wrong perspective of God, which then led to them having a wrong perspective of others, and then along with that, having a wrong perspective of themselves. They had not a godly perspective, they had a worldly perspective. And matter of fact, Paul kind of speaks a little bit about this earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for my part, brothers and sisters, I was not able to speak to you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as babies in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you're still not ready. Paul's speaking like a good dad. Good spiritual father. Y'all so immature, I thought y'all would be ready for this good old chicken and this good old meat. But y'all still babies. Thought y'all would be ready, but you're not ready. You don't get this good old Similac. You don't get this milk. You don't get this good old almond milk. Because you're not ready to digest the meat of God's word. Why? Not because God doesn't want you to, but because you have a worldly perspective. Your perspective is off. Oh yeah, you got a purpose of God, but your perspective is off. You're looking at everything from a ungodly perspective, from a worldly perspective. And because they didn't have God's perspective of things, here's what happened. It impacted how they lived. It impacted how they treated people. It ultimately impacted, and this is what this message is all about today, how they saw themselves. It impacted how they viewed themselves, which is why over and over the Apostle Paul is having to bring forth correction to their practices, but more specifically to their perspectives. Their perspectives, family, was contributing to them living a life beneath what God wanted them to live. Their perspectives were causing them to not live at the level that God really created them and desired for them to live at. Here's ultimately what's happening. Because of a wrong perspective, here's what they were having. They were having identity issues. You're supposed to be one thing, but because of your perspective, you're being something completely different. You're confused about who you really are. You have no idea truly of who you are. And I believe, church family, that just as the Corinthian believers were having identity issues and not knowing who God had created and called them to be, some of us are here today and we are having the same struggle. We're having identity issues. And many times we're having these identity issues due to how we see ourselves, and it causes us to live life less than God's best for our lives. And so what happens is now throughout life, we pick up these labels and we pick up these descriptions and we pick up these identities of ourselves or on ourselves that are not in congruency with what God has for us. And I ask you a question that I really want you to wrestle with, not just today, but in the days moving forward. What labels have you and I picked up? What names have you and I allowed to attach themselves to our lives? What false labels have led to bondage in your life? Emotional bondage, spiritual bondage, psychological bondage. And here's what happens, y'all. When we adopt these labels that are not of God, it leads to things like an unhealthy view of self. It leads to things like insecurity. It leads to things like self-condemnation. And some of us are here today under the sound of my voice, watching online and in person. And if you're really, really honest, you look like you got it all going on the outside. But if you're really honest, you're like, I don't have a clue who I am. I feel like I don't have any sense of purpose. I don't have any sense of clarity. Even for some of us who have made the decision to give Jesus Christ our life, we're still struggling there. And it's been something that some of us have been dealing with for a number of years, maybe since childhood. Maybe there's some things that happened in your childhood, and there was some childhood trauma that has now defined how you look at yourself, or it's defined how you look at people. Maybe because you trusted people with your whole heart, and because they broke your heart, now your heart has been jaded, and it's caused you to have an improper view of God, but also an improper view of people, and then also an improper view of yourself. But if you find yourself in that place, church family, I'm here to let you know God is not here to bring forth condemnation. No, God sent me here on assignment to bring you some hope and some encouragement that in spite of how you feel, in spite of us maybe living life lower than the level that God has for us, in spite of the shame that some of us are walking with and the guilt that some of us are walking with right now, I want to let you know that verse 17 gives us some of the best news that you and I could ever hear. And it says this: if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. But now to understand this, you got to understand that for there to be some great news, there first has to be some bad news. And the bad news is this: on our own, y'all, we are spiritually dead because of our sin, which is why the Bible says in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. And every single person under the sound of my voice, myself included, and online, at some point in our juncture in our life, you and I have sinned. We cuss people out, come on, we've lied. We've slept with people that are not our spouse. We've cheated. We've done things we were not supposed to do. Every single person has sinned. The difference for some of us is you just cover yours up better than others. But every single person has sinned. And because of that sin, our relationship with God has been broken, and it has been fractured on our own. The Bible says we are not righteous. Matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah says our righteousness, our good acts, the good things that we do that we're proud of are actually like filthy rags outside of God. On our own, y'all, we are broken. But I've come to give you good news that even in spite of us being on our own, because of God's great love for us while we were sinners, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be made new, so that we could be in relationship with God. Which means all of your sins have been washed away through the blood of Christ. Past sins, which you did yesterday, has been forgiven. Your present sins, which you're doing today, has been forgiven. And your future sins, what you will do later on down the road has been covered and forgiven because of the blood of Christ. And when you say yes to Jesus, you now get new life in him. When you are in Christ, you are no longer who you used to be. Because of Jesus, you now have new life. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I believe that some of you are here today and you've been walking around with a whole lot of guilt and a whole lot of shame. But I'm here to let you know that any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Is there anybody here today at the 11 o'clock service that's grateful for the love of Christ that was shown through him forgiving our sins? I love this because this pastor and theologian by the name of Dr. Bruce Barton, he says this: Christians are not reformed, they are not rehabilitated or re-educated, they are recreated. They are not reformed, they are not rehabilitated, they are not re-educated. They are recreated. Do you know what that, y'all don't get it. Do you know what that means? It means when you say yes to Jesus, you are no longer who people said you used to be. When you say yes to Jesus and when you make the decision to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, when he takes up residence in your heart through faith in the blood-washed cross and the resurrected grave, when you begin to put your faith in that, you are no longer who you used to be. You got a new future. You got a new destiny. God has purpose for your life. You are no longer who you used to be. You are now a new creature. Just like the caterpillar is no longer a caterpillar but becomes a butterfly, that is the same with you. The caterpillar goes through a process in which it is essentially dying, but then it comes out of this chrysalis state, this dark space. It comes out of this tomb, if you will, as a new creature, as a butterfly. That's what Paul is trying to help us understand. That's actually the Greek word here for new creation. It's this metamorphosis that takes place. That before Christ, you were a caterpillar. You were low to the ground. You were moving slow. You had no life. It would have been easy to crush you. But because of Jesus, he took you through a transformation process. And you were buried with him through faith in Christ. And not only were you buried with him, but when you said yes to him, the Bible says in Colossians 1 that now you have been raised a new life with Christ. You went in as a caterpillar, but when you came out in Christ, you became a butterfly. And I'm here to let you know that if you don't get anything else out of today's sermon, when you say yes to Jesus, you are not the same person that you used to be. You are now a new creation. Thank God that God is in the business of making old things new and taking busted, broke down people like you and me and transforming us. That's what he's done. That's what Paul is trying to get across here to the Corinthian believers. He's reminding them of what Christ has done. But what's also true is that in spite of this great thing that Jesus has done, if we're really honest, here's what I've recognized just in all my years of following Jesus. I believe that. I know that's true. But if I'm really honest, can we be honest? It's just me and you here in the room. Can we just be honest? You know what the dirty little secret is sometimes, though? We still go back. That butterfly gets that caterpillar label back on him. You're supposed to be soaring, but you're crawling. You're supposed to be flying high, but you're living low. You've gone back because it's like you forgot. You got wings now. You can soar, but yet you're living at the bottom. And what Paul is trying to help them understand is that in Christ, you're new. But what the believers were constantly dealing with, they lived in this culture that was filled with promiscuity. They lived in this culture that was filled with compromise. They lived with this culture. They used to be one thing before they came to know Christ. Now they're new, but their past is constantly pulling them back. Have you ever felt like that before? I feel like I'm taking 5 steps forward, but then I feel this pull that's drawing me back 10 steps back. Come on, can we be honest in here? Come on, I know this is the Bridge Church, and I know we love Jesus in here, but because we love Jesus, can we also be honest at times that at times it's hard, but the past kind of pulls me back. That thirst for that thing kind of pulls me back. And we find ourselves kind of in this war and in this back and forth. And what happens now is it causes us to live less than what God has called us to live at. But I want to help you understand that breakthroughs can happen specifically for those of us who struggle in that area when you and I begin to let go of labels. There's some labels that you've been carrying around that God is saying, aren't you tired of that? It's time to let that go. And so some of you like me are like, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Because I've tried everything. I tried this class. I tried this step. They said, do these 10 steps and you'll be better. I did 11 and I'm still bad. I tried this and it hasn't worked. I tried to Google it and Google didn't help. I need help. I went online, I couldn't find it. TikTok, everybody's an expert, huh? But it's them same experts that's trying to give you marital advice and things of that nature that have divorces and been cheating on their spouse for like 6 years. They just covered it up and didn't tell nobody, but now it's out there. So if there was no hope for you, is there really hope for me? I need something better than TikTok theology. I need something better that's going to actually help me. Because I've been struggling. And I love what Paul lifts up here as he's talking about being new in Christ. Because he helps us to understand this. I want you to write this down. That if we're going to let go of the labels and really move forward and experience some breakthrough in our life, it starts with this. And this right here, for some of us, is going to be somewhat difficult to do on our own, but by the power of God, you can do it. Are you ready for it? Here's what you need to do. Put down the lie. Put down the lie. Here's what Paul says in verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. In other words, we now, because we know Christ and because of what Christ has done, we no longer have this false perspective of ourselves, of others, and most importantly, even our Savior, Jesus. The worldly perspective is a false perspective, and it's time to put it down. Paul was somebody who had a worldly perspective for a long time before he had an encounter with Jesus. He was blinded by lies. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But here's what he's saying, that because of what Jesus has done, we don't live by a worldly code anymore. We don't look at things through a worldly lens anymore. Here's what he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned, watch this, the truth that comes from him. Here's what verse 22 is, and this is what some of us really need to do this year. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust. Watch this, and deception. That's a lie. He says, throw off the old way, the old perspective, the old practice. Let that stuff go. Throw it down. You've been walking around holding lies for too long. You've been walking around believing lies about God, believing lies about yourself, believing lies about others. Aren't you tired of being defined by lies? Paul says, we don't regard any longer people from a worldly perspective. He says, take off the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires. Deceitful meaning it's a lie. Can I ask you a question that once again I want you to wrestle with this week? What labels that we are calling lies have we picked up and have attached themselves to our lives? What lies are you believing? What lies are you believing about yourself? What lies are you believing about God? What lies are you believing about people? Can I give us some examples of some lies that we believe? I'm ugly. Some of you have been told that since you were a child, and it has been carried over with you into your adulthood. And it's caused you to live a certain way, which is why now you spend so much money on clothes and so much money on different appearance type of things, because you were told that at a young age, and now you're trying to compensate for what you think is incomplete from God. People told you that. Maybe you heard a lie or believe this lie, I'm not loved. Because the people who said that they loved me abused me. And it's defined you. Maybe it's, I'm a failure. I've messed up here. I just can't get it right. I'm a failure. For some of us, you believe the lie, I won't have enough. You get to the end of the month, you see all the bills that are stacking up right now, and you believe this lie, I won't have enough. I'm not going to make it. For some of us, you're going through some turbulent times, and you've gone through some turbulent times. And I can't get through this. This is too bad. This is too dark. Can I ask you a simple question respectfully? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? Because when I hear that, it sounds like the ancient lie of the serpent from the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. When he's questioning the very word of God when it comes to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? Did he really mean? Are you sure? You know what that translates to some of us? Are you sure you loved? Are you sure you're forgiven? Some of you are here right now under the sound of my voice, and the enemy is all up in your chatterbox, all up in your mind right now, and he's talking to you saying, you fooling everybody else, but you know good and well you were sinning what you did last night. You fooling everybody else, you ain't fooling me. I know what you're about. But who told you that? Because that didn't come from the mouth of God. It didn't come from heaven. It didn't come from the word of God. It didn't come from scripture. It didn't come from himself. Where did that come from? And if it didn't come from God, then that means it had to come from the enemy. And there's only one thing that we can do with the lies that come from the enemy, and we got to put them down. We got to crucify them. We got to lay them aside. We got to get rid of them, because for so long we've been defined by it. Here's what pastor and theologian A.W. Tozer says. He says this, and it's so powerful. He says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Because how we view God oftentimes affects how we view ourselves. And we see ourselves through the lens of a lie. It limits us from seeing ourselves correctly and living the life that Jesus came to give you. I'm here to let you know John 10 and 10 is still true. We said all last year that it was the year of abundance and this is the year of release, but the word is still true that he's come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Where did you get the lie that you're supposed to struggle all your life? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to cause you to believe things about yourself that are not true. He wants you to believe things about God that are not true. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Put down the lie. It's time to let go of the lie. Because the lies of the enemy cause us to live anxiously. Lies cause us to be insecure. Lies cause us to doubt. Can I also help you understand? Lies can also lead to things like depression, worry, stress, anxiety. Oh, sure, there are practical aspects to that. But can I help you understand almost everything, if not everything, is rooted in something spiritual? Behind every prison is a lie. Behind every chain is a lie. But I'm here to let you know Jesus didn't come from heaven, just from heaven to earth, just for you to remain in bondage. No, he said, I have come to set the captives free. I have come to proclaim release to you. I've come to set you free. I've come to bring forth freedom. I've come to bring forth liberation to you. And I just want to know who is here today that's tired of living beneath the level that God has for you. Who is tired of being a prisoner to your past? You're tired of being a prisoner to the opinions of people? No, I want to live the life that God has for me. He says, who's ready to be free? Who's ready to walk in victory? Who's ready to experience breakthrough? That means it's time to put down some old thoughts. It's time to put down some old perspectives. It's time to put down some old ways. It's time to put down some old habits. Why? Because Jesus, he makes you new. But not only are we putting down the lie, but we have to do the next important thing, which is this: pick up the truth. I'm putting down one thing, and I'm picking up something different. I'm putting down the lies, the false narratives, the things that people have said about you that aren't true. And we're going to begin to pick up the truth of God. Here's what Paul says in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and see, the new has come. Paul is saying, when a person comes to Christ and puts their faith and trust in him, the old is gone. The new has come. And then he says this. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Here's what he's saying. You and God, me and God, us and God, our relationship was fractured and broken. But through Jesus, Jesus has come to reconcile us back to God. Can I say it like this? He's come to bridge the gap between us and God. If you ever wanted to know why our church is called The Bridge, that's it. Because Jesus is the bridge. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. We don't just have a bridge in the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel and the Monitor Merrimack and God the God-forsaken Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. My God, that is not of God right there. It's too long. It's too deep. It is too narrow. No, we got a better bridge, and his name is Jesus Christ. He gets us safely to heaven. He brings us back into relationship with God. He cleanses us of our sin. He makes us new. He gives us this gift of life. And here's what Paul says in verse 21, jumping down. He says, he made, meaning God, he made the one, meaning Jesus, who did not know sin. Meaning this, Jesus never sinned. He was perfect. He lived 33 years perfectly, which is why he could be the sacrifice for our sins. It says he made him who did not know sin to be sin for us, meaning he was a sin substitute for us. He stood in our place so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This scripture single-handedly transformed my life in college. I was already saved, but I was struggling with a whole lot of different things. Struggling with purity, struggling with doubt, struggling with worry, insecurity. But when I heard this scripture preached one day, and I heard this pastor preaching this and speaking this, he says, the next time you begin to question who you are, and the next time you fall short and you sin and whatever it is that you're doing, I want you to remind yourself that you are not the sin that you committed. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Begin to declare over yourself who you are in Christ. You are not the mistake that you made. No, you are not what you did. You are what Jesus has done for you. And the minute that processed in my heart, the chains began to fall down because I wasn't believing a lie any longer. I was believing truth. And I want you to understand this. Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, which means this. Listen to me. If the truth will set you free, then a lie will keep you in bondage. And the reason why so many people are oftentimes in bondage is because for so long we've been believing lies. But today Jesus is saying, put down the lie and pick up the truth. Pick up the truth of who he's called you to be. Pick up the truth of who he says you are. Pick up the truth of not what culture says, but what the kingdom says. And I love this because here's what this means. I want you to write this down. That it's time for you to stop embracing the lies of the enemy and embrace the truth of God. Because when Jesus went to the cross, y'all, he forgave all of our sins. All of your sins, past, present, and future, were applied to him, y'all. That's why the Bible says that by his stripes or by his wounds, we are healed. We are forgiven. All of your sins, past, present, and future, were taken from you and applied to him. Because for some of us, we're still not getting it. It's like Jesus saying, you had zero in your spiritual bank account, but I got endless riches. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take out of my account, and I'm going to fill out of my account and put now into your account. I'm going to cause my grace and me to overflow into your life. And I don't know about you, but that gets me excited because there's been plenty of times where I've looked in the bank account throughout my life and that thing says zero. And if I'm really honest, sometimes it said negative. But Jesus says, but when it comes to him, your bank account will never be negative. Your bank account will never say zero. It will always be overflowing. It will always be running over. Why? Because his grace is sufficient and his mercy endures forever. He causes it to run over. And the Apostle Paul, the one who's writing this letter here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, y'all, he's somebody who can testify to this. He's speaking from personal experience. And I want you to listen to his story in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He gives a snapshot of it in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. He says, I give thanks to Christ Jesus. Why are you giving thanks, Jesus, to Jesus, Paul? Why? Because he strengthened me. Because he considered me faithful, appointed me to the ministry. Okay, keep going. Then he says this, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a liar, a manipulator. Come on. He says a persecutor and an arrogant man. Even though I was formerly that. But I was, can I stop right there? Whenever you see the word but in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, Paul uses a lot of buts in the Bible. And anytime he's talking about something on the front end of it, what comes on the back end of it is much greater than the front end. So in Ephesians 1, he says, we were sinking in sin, y'all. We were dead to our sin. Our trespasses were taking us out. It kept us far from God. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ Jesus. And what Paul is saying was, I used to be one way, but Jesus stepped in. I used to be one way, but God. I was struggling, but God. I was lying, but God. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today at the 11 o'clock online and in person that got a but God story? Your life was going one way, but God. You were saying one thing, but God. You were doing this thing, but God. Thank God that he is a God full of mercy. And Paul says, I receive mercy because of my ignorance. And he keeps going. Notice what he says in the next verse. He says, and the grace of the Lord overflowed. Can I let you know that you don't just serve the God of enough? You serve the God of more than enough. And for some of us, here's what some of you need to get delivered from. You need to get delivered from this small thinking when it comes to God, that God is just going to give me enough just to get by. And it's not relatively false. It's just incomplete. It's not incorrect. It's just incomplete. God is enough to give you just enough, but God is more interesting in not just giving you just enough. He's the God who gives you more than enough. He's the one who does exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or imagine. He causes things to overflow. He causes things to be greater. He says, along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus, he says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Can I let you know who that was? Us. Can I let you know that that person next to you, they sin real good. If there's one thing that none of us had to take a class in and get a PhD in, is sin. Not, say it with me, not sin, sin. Come on. I'm looking at people who were pros at this at one point. Y'all ain't being honest. Y'all done got the 9 a.m. spirit in y'all. Come on. I'm talking to some of y'all in here. You know how to cuss and cuss good. That was former life. But God, I used to be that. But now I'm not that. I'm a new creature now. And yes, I might have some struggles from time to time, but that's not my identity anymore. I'm in Christ now. I love this because some of us are here today, and you're like, but Pastor, I've messed, I've fallen short. I've done things that I'm not proud of. My current state is not worthy of God's love. Can I help you understand something? Do not allow your state to determine your standing. Your current state in life does not determine your eternal standing with God. Your eternal standing with God is not based upon what you do. Your eternal standing of God is based upon what Christ has done for you. I am who I am, not because of what I do. I am who I am because of what Jesus has done for me. That's who I am. Do not allow your state to determine your standing. I am who God says I am. I am loved by God. I am forgiven by God. I am chosen by God. And when you say yes to Jesus, you are new. And your life is intertwined with him. Here's what this means. When you're in Christ's family, you got a new identity. You don't even live at the same spiritual address no more. You ever got mail to your house that has somebody else's name on it, but had your address on it? They don't live here no more. Why y'all delivering mail here? I don't know Jack Bauer. He's 24, first name that popped in my mind. Jack Bauer don't live here. Not anymore. Can I help you understand something, family? Do not answer mail to an old address. Your residency is in the kingdom now. You are a new creature. Where people used to find you, they won't be able to find you no more. This year, we came into this year and I said, as this year started, we saw the pattern of Jesus. Whenever the Sabbath came, which was Sunday back in his day and time, whenever the Sabbath came, he was always in the synagogue. He could always be found in the house of God. And I said, coming into this year, where will people find you and I? Let this be a year where people don't find us in the club, where people don't find us twerking on people, where people don't find us in the club. Where people don't find us at the party, where people don't find us doing things we should. No. I want to be found in the house of God. I want to be found among the people of God. I want to be found in the word of God. I want to be found in the plan of God. I want to be found in the purpose of God. No, I want to be found where he wants me to be. My identity is tied to him now. So you ain't got to wonder who you are. You know who you are. You're in Christ. Which is why Paul says this in Colossians 3, verse 1. He says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Then he says this, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. You know what Paul is saying? It's time to let go of the earthly perspective and have an eternal perspective. It's time to put down the lie and to pick up the eternal truth in Christ. And then here's my favorite verse in all of Colossians, verse 3. He says this, for you died. Your old person died when you came to Christ. He said, you died, and your life now is hidden with Christ in God. That is a phrase that the Apostle Paul loves to use all throughout all his New Testament letters. With Christ, in Christ, meaning you're not alone, you're with him. Meaning you're not by yourself, you're with him. Meaning your identity is not in of yourself, it's in him. Your interests are in Him. Your purpose is found in Him. The plan of God for your life is found in Him. Everything that you need is found in Him. He is more than enough. It's in Him. That's my identity now. I'm in Christ, which means that what's true of Jesus now is also true of me. What He has access to, I too have access to. Which means you're not just a sinner any longer. No, you're a saint now. You're a son of God now. You're a daughter of God now. You belong to the family of God. You're not a child of the devil any longer. No, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, you are a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Which means this, picking up the truth means declaring about you what God says about you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am loved by God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have a purpose. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. And I'm going to close with this because some of us are here today. You say, but Pastor, I'm having a hard time seeing this because of my upbringing, because of my sin, because of what I was told. Can I encourage you with this today? It's time to let go of the labels that have defined your life for years. It is time to let go of the labels that have been haunting you, that have been plaguing you. It is time to let go of all these things that have been going and in your direction of your life, that have been guiding your life. It is time to let go of the labels. Why? Because your identity is not based on what you have done. Your identity is based upon what Christ has done. It's based upon Jesus. It's not based upon you. And some of us are here today, and you're like, Pastor, I get it. I've heard you say this, but I'm still having a hard time seeing this. And I've told you now what Christ has done. But I know for some of us like myself, you're a visual learner. So I want to close by not just telling you what He's done. I want to close by showing you what He's done. So I'm going to ask my man Christian to come on up here for a minute. He's going to help me demonstrate this, because I think for some of us in here, what we've been doing for so long is we've been carrying around these labels. Labels like this, where we say, I'm a mistake. You've been carrying this around for so long because your parents told you, we didn't plan to have you. You're a mistake. And so you thought your whole life that you're a mistake. For some of us here today, I've let people down, so this is who I am. This is just what I do. I'm always going to let people down. For some of us, it's your physical appearances, and you've had people tell you that you're ugly, and you've looked in the mirror, and you've said the same thing, and so now you're wearing this label. Hello, my name is ugly. You don't say it with your words, you say it with your walk. And now, for some of us, it's man, like, people don't love me, and the people that said they will always be there for me, they rejected me, and so now you constantly feel like a reject, and you feel like you're always a failure, and now here's what's happened. It's led to you being in this place of being filled with fear and trepidation and not knowing how things are going to work out on a regular basis, and so now you live your life in this perpetual cycle of being afraid. You wake up every day just trembling because you don't know what's going to happen. Now it sets you into this place of being depressed. And you're wearing this. For some of us in here, you do a good job of covering things up. But beneath the surface, this is what you're wearing. This is what you're carrying. For some of us in here, we've messed up many times in our life, and so we've just went ahead and said, you know what, I'm just a failure. That's who I am. The sooner I accept that, the better off I'll be. So now you look at everything through a lens of being a failure, which now has ultimately led you to this place of hopelessness. Now you live this life being hopeless. And so we now live this whole life living like this, living according to these labels, and we're walking around with it constantly. So we go to school with these labels. We go to work with these labels. We go to dances with these labels. We go to our jobs with these labels. We go to family reunions with these labels, and we live like this. We just carry this with us everywhere we go. This is what we do. This is who I am. I'm always going to be this. Doesn't matter how old I get, I'm always going to be this. Some of us are now taking pride in that. This is who I am. But who told you that? Where did you get that from? And this has defined many of our lives for so many years. But what Paul is saying is that today is the day of new beginnings for you. I believe that Jesus is saying, aren't you tired of walking around like this? And Jesus is saying, I've come to give you something better. I've come to offer up my life on the cross. And the way that he gives us a fresh start is not just by giving us new labels. He comes and he begins to wash away these labels now with his blood on the cross. And so now what he does is he covers these labels right here and he covers them with his blood. And he gives us a clean slate and he gives us a new beginning. And now what happens, family, is when he washes those old things away, he replaces them and says, you are no longer who you used to be. You thought you weren't loved. I'm here to let you know you are. You're loved by me now. I'm here to let you know now that not only are you loved, but you've been redeemed. I've taken care of all of your sin debt. I've considered you somebody that's worthy of my love. And not only that, I got a plan for your life. So I got a calling on your life. I got a purpose for your life. You used to think that you had no value. You used to think that you didn't have a purpose. No, I'm here to let you know that you've been called. And because you've been called, now you are blessed by me. You thought you were cursed because of all the things that happened. No, when you're in me, you're actually blessed. And I'm working all things out for those who love me and called according to my purpose. He said to let you know that you're free now. The thing that you thought you couldn't get free from, he's saying in me, you can get free of it. He's also here to let you know that, hey, all of your sins, no matter what you've ever done, no matter what you ever do, no matter what it is that you're doing right now, I've already taken care of that. It's covered. The debt has been paid. I want you to understand that even when you feel like nobody sees you and nobody has their eye on you, I want to let you know that I've seen you. Before I formed you in your mama's womb, I knew you. I had plans to prosper you, not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. I'm here to let you know that because of Jesus, you are anointed by God, which means you've been smeared with his Holy Spirit, which means his presence is now with you. I'm here to let you know that because of Christ and what he's done, you are now gifted by God. You are more gifted than you ever realized. You are more talented than you will ever know. And because of that, because of what Jesus has done, I want you to know that he's valued you. He doesn't waste his blood on any junk. No, he poured out his blood because he's valuing you. I'm here to let you know that no matter what it is that you're going through, he says, because of me and because of what I've done, I want you to know that you are now more than a conqueror. No matter what you face, it should be scared of you now, not you scared of it. Because you're more than a conqueror through him who loved you. But can I give you even better news? That the reason why all this is possible is because now in Christ Jesus, you got a new identity. And that new identity is this, that you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I'm here to let some of us know today that no matter the labels that you've been walking around with, no matter these old things right here, I'm here to let you know it's been covered in the blood of Christ. You got a new purpose now. You got a plan from God. Come on, who am I talking to today that says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? I am a child of God. I am loved by God. I am more than a conqueror. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. Can we take 10 seconds to give God our best praise? Can we open up our mouths because of what Christ has done for us? Can we give him praise and glory? This is who you are. Not that. I want us all to stand on our feet as we close. You're not this anymore. You're this. And it's sealed in his blood. Blood is the main way in which covenants were established, meaning it's unchanging now. It's finalized, which is why when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished, tetelestai. It's done. It's done. Righteousness of God is done. You're that now. Seen, it's done, it's handled. Better than Olivia Pope, it's handled. You're called, you're free, you're valued. But Pastor, I don't feel this. That's because for so long you've told yourself lies. But this is the year where we get free. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the year of release. And what God is wanting to do is he's wanting to release us from the lies that have limited us for so long. And he wants to release us into our future. He wants to release us into our destiny. And I'm here to let you know that it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your history is. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. You got a new identity now. You got a new purpose now. God has greater things in store for you now. This is who you are right now. I want to invite us just in this moment, just with hands lifted before God. So hands are lifted. some of us right now, what you need to receive is this impartation from God. I want you to know that Jesus came to take the labels off of us so that he can put his name on us. He came to take the labels from you and I so he can put his name on you. You're chosen now. You're loved now. In Christ, you're forgiven. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, with our hands lifted, God, we're tired of living in bondage. We're tired of struggling with the same things that we've always struggled with. But we thank you that you've given us a promise and a declaration that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We thank you that because of Christ Jesus and his blood, our sins can be washed away. Purpose can be found. Destiny can be walked in. Future can be obtained. Favor can be walked in. We thank you. My head's about and eyes are closed. If you're here today, some of you, I want to let you know this, that you will never walk in this until you say yes to Christ. You will never walk in this until you give him your life. It's not about coming to church. It's about coming to Christ. It's about putting your faith in Christ. And if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never put my faith in what he did for me on the cross and through his resurrection. But today I want to receive him as Lord. Today I want a new beginning. Today I want to become a new person. I want my sins to be cleansed. I want to stop struggling with the things that I've been trying to overcome by myself. I need Jesus. If this is you, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. Just on the count of three, if you could do me a favor, I just want you to shoot up your hands on the count of three. I just want to see you. If this is you, on the count of three, shoot up your hands if you want Jesus. One, two, three. If this is you, I need Jesus in my life. I want to give him my life. I want to believe in him as Lord and as my Savior. If this is you, if this is your desire, if you're online or in person and you raise your hand because you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. I receive your life. I receive your identity. I receive salvation. Would you be my Lord? Would you be my Savior? I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose for me. Thank you for new life. Thank you for a new name. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family, can we celebrate all that God has done? Come on, I saw some hands go up today. Come on, can we celebrate all that he's done? Come on, can we bless God?